Happy Friday. I'm super excited for today's guest episode. I sat down and had a conversation with someone who has got to have one of my most favorite names that I've ever encountered in anywhere. I sat down with Lemon Price. No, that is not a joke. She has a beautiful name and I love it. Lemon Price. So fabulous. If you are not familiar with Lemon, she is a Christian businesswoman. She's part of Girl Power Alliance, which you will hear a little bit about in this episode. She's going to share a little bit about what that looks like. It's pretty cool if you've never heard of it before. So I hope that it's interesting. And we had a conversation about a couple of different things. Lemon really specializes in personal development, personal growth, and the idea of biblical leadership as entrepreneurs. And so I was just picking her brain on what these things look like, why they're so important, and, you know, what kind of things that we can do to assess, you know, our own like leadership and growth needs and our personal development needs and what that looks like and why we should take that time and do that hard, uncomfortable work sometimes to work on ourselves and to improve the things that we are weak at or the things that we are really needing to grow in and the difference that it can make. She's got some really cool stories about just the ripples that it casts when we take that time to invest in ourselves and grow personally, not just professionally, but like true personal growth and the impact that it can have on so many people around us. So it's going to be some really, really cool stories that you'll hear in here. She's got so much wisdom and advice on these topics. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you and this conversation. I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me. So let's get into this conversation with Lemon. This is Simple Facebook Group Strategy with me, Sarah Beisel. Do you want to know how to set up and optimize your Facebook group? Do you need a content strategy you can actually stick to? Are you wondering how to get new members into your group every single week? Then you, my friend, are in the right place. Over the last 3 years, I've developed simple strategies for optimization, growth, and engagement so you can create a Facebook group that actually supports your business. I grew my group from 0 to 1,500 members on my own, and I make consistent sales every single month without showing up anywhere else on social media. And I did all of this in less than 30 minutes per day. I believe that when we pour into our community strategically, we pave the way for the kind of relationships that turn into paying customers. So if you're ready to start your Facebook group, create an engagement strategy, and develop a growth plan so you can finally have the foundations to market your business successfully, grab a coffee and pull up a chair. Let's do this. Are you ready to create an engaged Facebook group? Then you're going to want to join me inside Facebook Group Foundations. This is a 6-week course that will take you through every step you need from starting your group all the way to growing your members. Together, we're going to get super clear on the vision for your group, launch and optimize your group so people can find it easily, create a custom engagement strategy for building solid relationships, and prepare a growth plan so more people can join. On top of all of that goodness, when you join Facebook Group Foundations, you also get access to my bonus content mapping workshop so you always have content prepared and ready to share. You also get to join my student community where you'll receive coaching every single month. If you're serious about growing your Facebook group, it's really a no-brainer to join this course. Head over to sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations. That's sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations. I'll see you there. Welcome to the podcast, Lemon. I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm just like, we were literally just saying that you have like such a cool name. And I'm just like, I've never met someone with like a fruit name. And I love it. And I'm so excited. So I think it's one of the things that stood out to me when we were like connecting on social media. Like we were just saying, like, it's such a memorable name. So anyway, I'm so glad that you're here and we get to chat. And yeah, you get to share all your amazing wisdom with us because you've got a lot to say.
Oh my gosh. Friend, thanks for having me. I am excited to be here.
Yeah. So first, I just want to get have a little chat about you and your business and your journey, because I know it's been a very a very cool journey. You're doing some very cool things. And I would just love for you to be able to share that a little bit before we get into some of our specific questions.
Yeah, I feel like I have such a weird journey. So this was never actually my goal or my intention to be in business or to do any of those things. I actually thought I was going to be like a second grade teacher in South Carolina and just like live a cute little life. I thought that's what I was going to do. And then in 2011, I minored in journalism. I have my degree in English. And we had to blog for a class. And so freshly 21. And I grew up in a tourist town. So I'm like, I'm going to do bar and restaurant reviews. Like that sounds like a really good use of my time personally. And it did really well. We went super viral, as viral as something can go in 2011. And so then I was getting meals comped. I was getting requests from bars and stuff to come and review their place because it was doing like they were all doing well because of these reviews. And I was like, oh, okay, this is like a thing that I can actually do. And so before I graduated college, I ended up working at a boutique PR firm. And I will never forget my very first day. They were like, listen, we win awards. And so that's like what we expect from you. And I was like, oh, casual. I was like, great, thank you. I'm like 21 years old. I'm like, great, sounds so good. I was working there full time while going to school. And I ended up winning a few international PR awards. And I was like, okay, like we're good at this. And then I moved to a different part of, you know, I moved to like Pennsylvania. I worked in another agency. Everything was great there. And then I had a friend from church actually say to me like, hey, are you looking for like a better job? And I was like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like, what do you got for me? And so he's like, we're in fintech, which is financial tech. And he was like, we need a new CMO. And I was like, I am 26 years old. And he was like, great, sounds good. And he was like, just send me your resume. So I sent him the resume. He emails me back 2 days later. He's like, great, job is yours. Like, see you on Monday. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I was 26 years old in the C-suite. I meet with the CEO and he was the CFO at the time. And he's like, so listen, we're actually hemorrhaging cash and we can't make payroll in 3 months. So we're hoping you're going to fix it. And I was like,
okay.
Okay.
No pressure.
I'm like, totally why I got hired. Let's be honest. They were like, we're going to hire this 26-year-old. And if it fails and the business crashes, then we can blame it on the fact that she's 26. Or it's going to do really well. And we can be like, great. Like, so they're like, kind of in like, they're like, it's a win-win for us. And we ended up doing $10 million in sales in 10 months.
Wow.
And we were definitely not hemorrhaging cash anymore at all. And so I left because I was like, I feel like I've peaked now, right? I'm like, at this point, I'm 27. I've maxed out what I can possibly do. So I started running my own agency, had a business partner. His business was good. And she told me she loved Jesus. And turns out she did not love Jesus. She just loved where money came from and didn't care who put that money in our checking account.
Mm.
And so I ended up with a ton of new age clients. I was getting really sick. I felt terrible all the time. And my husband, who is a former pagan, I said to him, I'm like, I just don't feel good. And he was like, well, what are you doing for work? And I told him and he was like, get out.
Yeah.
Like, be done. I was such a baby Christian too. I wasn't raised in a Christian household. And so I was like, okay. So I got out of my own agency and then I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do. And so, and I did it. I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to keep taking marketing clients. Like, I just don't feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And so my husband was like, just go back to what you know. And I was like, okay. So I was in school getting my master's in apologetics and theology because I still felt like a baby Christian.
Yeah.
And so I just went back to blogging. I'm like, let me share all the things that like I'm learning. And that's when the influx of women coming in came, you know, my inbox was flooded every single week with women. I was getting comments on the blog. They're like, well, I can't minister to my children like you, or I can't understand scripture like you because I didn't go to seminary. And so I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Right. I can't be everywhere all the time. And so I created a course on how to really study scripture without having to go to seminary, right? Things your church should be teaching you.
Yeah.
And it did really well. And then I had a friend now who's the co-founder of Girl Power Alliance. She reached out to me and she said, hey, I have this Christian membership for personal professional development. They're really looking for spiritual growth. There's already some members who are taking your course. Like, do you want to partner with us? And I was like, no, absolutely not. I don't want to do that at all, actually. Yeah. And she was like, okay, like I'll follow up tomorrow then. And she did. She just kept reaching out all the time and building relationship with me. And I said to my husband, I'm like, this lady keeps hounding me. Everybody's telling me it's a bad idea. Like, what do you think? And so he said to me, he said, is your goal to do stuff by yourself or is your goal to have kingdom impact? And I was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, of course. Of course I want to have like bigger impact. And he was like, okay, well, they have way more reach because there's, you know, there's people collaborating from all across the world. And, you know, like this could get into the hands of way more people than you ever thought possible. And I was like, okay. So I text Molly and I said, I don't know what I'm getting into, but send me the info on how to do this. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but send it.
Yeah.
And I jumped in and it radically shifted my life. And so now I took like 2 different ICF accredited leadership programs through them. I've been asked to go on mission trips to Africa to help women. It was so crazy how that happened. It was, you know, she leads foreign missions for women, and she was looking for somebody certified in biblical leadership to come and support women. And she wanted somebody who was already teaching women. So she was like, can you come to Africa? So now we're having that kind of conversation.
Very cool.
I've become a certified speaker. I launched the podcast, which I didn't want to do. God and I really argued about that too. And that's the very podcast that landed me in Forbes. And so I'm like, all right, God, like his hand was clearly like in this whole journey. And so it's been really cool to that was such a long answer to what you asked.
No, it was such an interesting story. It's like, it's so funny. Every time I ask that question, that like the stories are never straightforward. There's always so much up and down and roundabout. And I don't want to do this thing, but God's like, no, you're going to go do this thing. And it's just, you know, it's so cool to see how he weaves all these like seemingly random things together to become the thing that they are. And I love hearing these stories every single time because it's always like, what are you doing, God? That's so weird. How does it all work out like that? I don't get it, but I love it. It's amazing. So I would love for you to just describe a little bit what biblical leadership actually means in terms of like, I guess my brain is going to the obvious. Well, obviously it's leadership impacted by the Bible, but like, what does that really look like in terms of how we would be a leader?
Yeah, I love this question. Actually, literally just wrote a chapter on that this morning for my book. So this is like, this is really fresh in my brain.
Perfect.
But really, to be the most excellent leader, you have to be the most excellent follower first. And so obviously, right, that means like we're following Jesus to a T, but really asking God to hold up a mirror to things that we have to change about ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And it's sanctification in real time, and it's asking God for help in that process. It's allowing him to work through you and then pouring that out into people. And I think biblical leadership really is just such like a weighty call, right? It's such a weighty call. It's something I tell my boys all the time because they're really loud about the fact that they're Jesus followers. And I say to them all the time, because you've been really vocal about that, everybody's watching you. Mm-hmm. And everything that you say and everything that you do, it's going to be a reflection of how people see Jesus. Because they know that you're a Jesus follower. And so everything you do is either pushing people toward Jesus or it's repelling them away from Jesus. And I think that, yeah, biblical leadership really is. It's a very intense call. I think we're all called to it in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is just about being an excellent follower first and foremost.
I love that. And I think I love the point that you bring up about how people watch us more closely as leaders as well, because I think it's such a responsibility. And I think sometimes I say as if like but I forget that all the time, right? Like I'm just kind of here doing my thing, and it's like, no, people are looking to you either for inspiration or to find something to pick apart. And it's like, you don't know which one it is, and you just have to, you know, do your best. Obviously we can't be perfect and we're gonna mess up, and that's a whole different like segment of leadership and how you own up to those mistakes, I imagine, right? But it's kind of scary when you think about it.
It is. And like, that's the thing too. People are always watching. Like, they're always watching. And so I've had people reach out to me that I've known for years and say, hey, Lemon, listen, whatever it is you're doing, I want to be a part of, because I've been sitting here watching your growth from a distance. Right? It's people who haven't texted me, they haven't called me, they haven't DM'd me, they haven't liked, they haven't commented on anything. But they're like, I've been watching you, mm-hmm. and I like what I see. And so now I want to be a part of whatever it is you're doing. And that to me, I think, is really radical to see, is that there are so many people watching and you have no clue that they're doing it and what the intention is as to why they're watching you.
Yeah, I know. I think it's so interesting. I have to tell people that as well a lot, because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, people aren't engaging on my posts, people aren't doing the things. And it's like, look, people, like my most profitable like copywriting clients that I've had were people that never interacted with me in any way until they sent me a message like, hey, I love what you wrote. I'd like to, you know, do some work with you. And it's like, oh, all right, let's chat. And it's like, I've never seen them before. I don't know who they are, but they were watching. And I didn't even know that they were watching because they weren't even like connected with me in the same way. So yeah. So, oh, that's a big question as well, I guess. Like how do you become a good leader for people to be watching? I know that's like a very big question that we probably can't unpack all the details, but like, what does that look like? If that's something that we are feeling the call for, or we're feeling that that is something that we want to step into and own a little bit more, especially as, you know, parents or as business leaders or people in our communities, where do we even start with that?
I think that's such a good question. And I really do think that it starts with you, right? Like, how are you leading yourself? Yeah. Because whether you're ready to lead in your community or whatever it is, like, how are you leading yourself? Are you honoring the commitments that you've made to yourself? Are you showing up for yourself? Are there things that you're, you know, like hiding or struggling with, right? Like, you can't coach somebody out of addiction if you're still stuck in addiction, right? We can't, like, because people will spend, like, you know, people will smell it, right? If something's off, they'll know. And you may say all the right words and carry yourself well, but they'll feel it. Yeah. Right. They won't be able to pinpoint it, but they will feel it. And so, yeah, before you even step into a leadership thing, I mean, evaluate, how are you leading yourself and how are you honoring the things God has called you to do? And are you honoring the person that God created you to be first and foremost before you step into anything else?
Yeah. It's so hard to, I feel like we all don't prioritize ourselves in any way. And right. And this isn't, and it's not about being selfish about these things either. Right. Or saying like, oh, I got to do all the things for me. Right. But it is, yeah, you can't take care of someone else if you're not taking care of yourself. So it's the same way you can't lead someone else if you're not leading yourself. So in terms of like practical things, what does like self-leadership actually look like? Cause I feel like it's a phrase I hear a lot, and I know I've got a little bit of a picture in my mind of what that looks like, because I've been through a fair amount of leadership development in my years in my career as well. But if people are like, what on earth is self-leadership? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it looks different for everybody, right? And I think it's a whole person situation, right? Are you allowing lies of the enemy to creep in and define your identity instead of God? Are you, like, what is your default thinking? Is it God's thinking or is it the world's thinking? Or how are you managing your finances? How are you managing your health? How are you, like, how are you taking care of yourself first and foremost? And I always say too that leadership actually has nothing to do with you, right? Like, it has everything to do with you, but it also has nothing to do with you. And so we have to, when we think about self-leadership, right? Like, I have a responsibility to the people that I am called to lead.
Yeah.
Right. They may not know who they are. I don't necessarily know who they are. Right. God will put them in my path as things happen. But I have to continually work on myself and show up as the best version of myself and walk fully into what it is God's called me to be, who He's created me to be, so that when the time comes and I'm interacting with these people that God has called me to lead, I can be exactly what it is like they need me to be leadership wise for them and what it is that they need. And so, yeah, so self-leadership, I think, is about recognizing that it actually has nothing to do with you. And you do have a responsibility to be the best version of yourself, right? Like, God did not knit you together so that you could believe all these things from the enemy or have all of these like lies pouring into yourself. That was not the original design of each of us. And so shedding those kind of things and just figuring out like who God actually created you to be and understanding your identity and your purpose and the authority that you have first and foremost, and then going out and sharing that with other people.
That's a really great way to put it. It's funny because I never really, like, I knew this kind of thing, but never really appreciated it until I became a parent, because then I was like, you know, showing up for yourself and being the best version of yourself for someone else is totally different when you're like single or just dating, or even when you're just married, but versus having a kid that is completely dependent on you. And I feel like mothers will feel this so much more than even fathers will, because especially in that first year, it's like that baby's life is pretty much depending on how you show up. And it's it's like the weight of it never really sat with me properly until it was, you know, like 2 in the morning. And it's like, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tired, but that baby is crying and he needs food and I'm the food. So I have to get my butt out of bed and do what I don't want to do so that he can eat. And it's like, that's really when it started hitting me that it's like, wow, okay, this is what it means to be the best version of yourself for someone else and to show up for someone else. It's like, wow, it's very a transformational mindset, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it makes a huge, especially when you have kids, right? Because then you see the best and worst parts of yourself somebody else, right? It is a full mirror reflection back to you of things that you do really well and things that you do not do really well.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and my friend Michelle, she's beautiful. I mean, she is absolutely beautiful. She has this, I mean, her body is beautiful. I would like put a picture of her on my refrigerator if I could, you know what I mean? It's like inspo. Yeah. Like she's beautiful, but she struggles with her own like self-doubts and things. And I mean, Michelle's 50 now and she was at a wedding recently with her daughters and stuff. And they were all getting ready together and she made negative commentary about her body and how she was feeling. And her oldest said to her, she said, "Don't you know the impact it has on me when you say something negative about yourself? Like, what does that say about me and my body?" And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like that. It's so interesting. Yeah. How when you have children, if you want to, right? If you're like, okay, I want to do things different, because chances are the negative self-talk and all these things that we have, they probably come from our parents who came from our grandparents. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so we have to decide. I feel like this generation, especially, like, we've all sort of made a conscious decision to do things differently, right? Yeah. We know better. We're more connected. There's more research. Like, we know things, I think, better than maybe our parents did. And so it's like, we have a responsibility to be different.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah, it's something that has been really like interesting to watch a lot of parents that are my age or a little older than me that are starting to try different things. And it'll be interesting because they may not work. We don't really know that yet because a lot of the kids are still little, the way that we're trying out these things. But you have to try something as well and just be confident that you're picking a path and you got to try it out and see if that makes a difference. But yeah, I think it's, yeah, we have that power to make a change if there's things that we're holding on to that we don't want to. And I think that's also a really important recognition. I think so many of us are like, well, this is just the way that I am. I'm stuck like this forever, I guess. And it's like, no, you don't have to be. We can change things and improve things and work on ourselves in a positive way, not to the point of feeling like we're absolutely worthless and drilling ourselves into the dirt over it, right? But there is a lot that we can improve and change about ourselves if we really want to make that conscious effort, which I think is so important to recognize.
Yeah. Ooh. I agree wholeheartedly. Like, it is just, it's so important that you can't fix what you don't acknowledge. And yeah. So I think that goes back to like self-leadership and everything. Like, there is sort of like a holy self-awareness I think you have to have when you're in biblical leadership, right? Like, you've got to start seeing things with a Holy Spirit lens, right? Like, you gotta put some Holy Spirit glasses on and look at yourself and ask, you know, like, where can I improve? Or, you know, like, ask for it. God will reveal himself, and we may not always like what he reveals, but we have to if we want to get better, if we want to grow. And, you know, we're called to steward things well. And I always tell my kids, I'm like, God's not going to give you more if you're not stewarding the little things that you have well.
Yes, I hear that.
Like,
he's
got to trust you with a little before he can trust you with a lot. And I think that goes back to us too. Like, before he can trust us with more, like, we have to do something well with what he's already given us.
Yeah. I have to remind myself that a lot when I'm like praying over my business and just seeing and, you know, allowing myself to dream about the big dreams in the future. And it's like, okay, but that's going to be on God's timing if and when he trusts me to get to that place. And for now, we're just going to do what I do right now and do it well and do it to the best of my ability. And then the next step is whenever God wants it, right? And I think it's really important to, yeah, reflect that and remind ourselves of that. Oh, well, I would love to wrap up with this one last question, because I think it's really, you were just saying you had some cool stories about this and I want to hear them. So focusing on personal development is really, as we've heard, really important, working on those leadership skills for ourselves, for the people in our audience, our community, our families. But I would love to just hear from you the difference that you've seen once you've actually spent some time focusing on these things, because I think it's sometimes a little flashy to focus on the business skills and do the business development and do the things. And we don't always want to sit there and do the work on our actual character development or our personal development, because that's often a little dirtier, a little harder, a little bit more emotional. But I think it's sometimes the most important thing that we can do. And so I would love to hear your experience with that, what difference you've seen after you've been focusing in on these things, and you know, the differences that you've seen with the people that you've worked with as well.
Yeah, I love this so much. So I'll talk about my family here, because I've seen, obviously I'm with them the most. And so I have a really intimate experience with them. And so I focused really heavily on personal development for myself for the last year and a half. And naturally, I've just become a different person. And so they're watching it, right? Like, they're constantly seeing me show up differently. I'm speaking differently. My patience level, it's different. Like, all these things about me are different. And I always say, like, do not lord your growth, your transformation over your family, right? And the Bible says, actually, we're not going to win our families over. It says your husband specifically, right? But you're not going to win him over by words. You're going to win him over by, like, your actions. Watching you glorify God is going to actually win your husband over. Mm-hmm. And so I have these two, like, radically insane experiences. They'll make me emotional a little bit when I think about them. So I'll start with my two boys, because they watch everything. They're so involved. My boys are 10 and 12. And they see everything I'm doing. They're like good friends with everybody in my community. They're always like popping on calls to say hi to people. Like, they're very intimately involved in my life. And I want them to be, right? Because I want them to see, like, what, you know, what life is like for me, and, you know, have different expectations, you know, moving forward. And so my two boys, they've been going through something a little intense. But again, they're constantly working on themselves, because they see, like, mom working on herself. And I got a call from, well, my husband got a call from our bus driver. Like, what was it? The beginning of December, gets a call from the bus driver. And he said, "Hey, is your wife at home?" And my husband's like, "Yeah, she's home. Like, is everything good?" He's like, "Yeah, I just have to stop by the house, like, real quick or something." I've never spoken to this man before. I've never seen this man before. Like, I was like, okay. I'm like, my thought is, like, do the kids, like, leave something important on the bus? Like, you know, and again, I live in a very rural area. So, like, we all kind of know where everybody lives. Like, everybody lives on the same street. Like, it's just the way it works. And so this man pulls up to my house, and he opens the back door of his truck, and it is full, to, like, door to door, up to the seat, of Christmas presents for my children.
Wow.
And I was like, what is happening here? I was like, what is going on? And he tells me that his mom was sick earlier in the school year, and that my kids made it a point every day before they got off the bus and went to school to ask him how his mom was doing. Aww. And to pray with their bus driver.
Oh my gosh.
In front of all of their peers and everything, they were sitting here praying. And I was like, okay. And he was like, and then when my mom passed, he was like, they did the same thing. He's like, they wrote me cards, like, because they knew why I was out. And he's like, again, when I came back, they were praying for me, and they were just reassuring me that, like, I'm going to get to see my mom again someday and all these things. And I was like, and of course, like, I'm getting emotional, like, thinking about, you know, like, talking to this man. And he was like, it had such a profound impact on my faith and my wife's faith. And he's like, I've been telling my friends about your children and all these things. And he's like, so I wanted to do something just special for them.
Wow.
And this man literally, he filled my entire kitchen table with Christmas presents for my kids. And I was like, holy, and they had the best Christmas. And, you know, they'll never know that it was, maybe one day I'll tell them their bus driver did that for them. But he was like, I don't want anybody to know that's what I did. And, but it was so cool, because, you know, like, I was talking to my kids about it. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I, you know, I hear you pray for your bus driver and stuff. And he's like, well, yeah, mom, because you and dad are constantly praying for other people. Like, isn't that just what we should do? Like, we should trust God with things. And he's like, the outcome wasn't what, you know, we wanted. He was like, but like, we have to trust God that was, like, the plan. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay.
Like, so mature.
So mature. I'm like, you guys are so much better than me. You know, like, I'm like, I was raised in an anti-Christian household. My husband was raised pagan. And so for us to, like, constantly be developing and working on things, like, and now seeing it translate in them, we're like, this is incredible. And then my husband, so I, you know, I've been doing this for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And my husband says to me, he's like, I just feel like maybe I should do the same stuff you're doing. And so we opened it up to men, because usually it was all women. Mm-hmm. And so my husband's taking this class. He's only 6 weeks in of 16 weeks. And he texted me on week two and he said, I fully understand now. Like, I get it. He was like, I never want to not be taking this class. He's like, I never not want to be in this environment. And he's like, I'm sorry if it ever felt like I didn't fully support you and understand. He's like, because now I get it. And so then last night he was in class and he was texting me throughout the whole class with all of his takeaways. He was like, he's like, it was like rapid fire texting me. And he gets, and we talked for 2 hours after the class and it shifted his entire worldview. And he said to me, he said, I understand like why things have been so hard for you because you've been doing this by yourself. Like you've been feeling this way by yourself. Like he's like, cause I wasn't there. Like I didn't fully get mm-hmm. where you were at. He's like, but now I get it. And it's just been really cool to see like how things have like, you know, like my big thing was on stewardship and the house we're in now we were renting. And so like, while I'm stewarding things better, like we got a pre-approval and we were going to buy a house and it like wasn't quite the right house. And we were like, I'm not really like super certain. And my husband last night, he goes, it's probably because you were the only one stewarding things well. He's like, but now we can both steward things well. And I was like, okay. I was like, I can't wait to see what this does. He's like, now I want to have conversations with our kids. And like, he's like, I fully am on board with the way you've been trying to parent for the last year and a half. Not that we were like misaligned, but he didn't fully understand like my heart posture and stuff. And now he does. Yeah. And so he's like, I'm excited for the radical shift it's going to do in our family. Because now, like, I fully feel like I understand you and what God's done in and through you for the last 18 months. And now, like, I get to have the same experience.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. It's so cool to see the ripples that it's making. I mean, like, that's gone beyond your family, right? That's gone into that bus driver's family. And if they have kids, that'll go to them. If they have friends, it's going to go to them. Like, it just ripples out so quickly. The impact that we can have when we just, and it starts with showing up for ourselves, like coming back to how we started this whole podcast episode. It's like, it starts with how we show up for ourselves. And I think it's such an underrated thing to just work on ourselves and become the best person that we can be and do the best that we can in the world. And the impact that that can have is radical. I think we sometimes think we have to be doing these big things out here and focus on the big changes out here to actually make a difference. But the amount of difference that you can have by just doing life well for yourself is incredible. I think I first heard that concept from Jordan Peterson. He talks about like clean up your own room before you try and fix the world. And I'm like very much taken that to heart. It's like, okay, well, my room is currently not very clean, but it's the same idea. Like I have not focused at all on making any sort of worldly impact until my house is in order and my family is in the order and I am in the order that I want to be. And I can tell for myself it's already making a difference. So who knows what that's going to look like in a few years or, you know, a decade from now. Like, wow, it's so cool. Thank you for sharing those stories. Those are really like so inspiring. I love them.
Yeah. And I want to say like, don't wait until you're like, I've arrived or, you know, I'm the way that I want to be to start going out and making an impact. Because I think a lot of people do that, right? They're like, I'm not where I want to be. So therefore I can't show up this way or whatever it is. Like, the truth of the matter is you are always at least one step ahead of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it's inspiring to see you go from A to B, right? Like, if you just go A to Z, that's going to freak people out and they're going to feel like you're not relatable or any of these things. So don't be afraid to like show up radically for yourself and for others in whatever season of life God has you in, because there's a purpose for it and he's going to use that season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's a wonderful, wonderfully encouraging note to end on. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us, Lemon. It's really been amazing. If people want to stay connected with you or find out more about Girl Power Alliance or any of the other things that you do, where can people go find you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. This was really fun. Usually I'm the one interviewing people, so this is really fun for me. So you can go to my website, lemonprice.co, or go to any social media website and just type in Lemon Price. Do not Google me. And I don't say that because I don't want you to Google me. You can totally Google me. However, your first like 7,000 results are going to tell you how much lemons are at your local grocery store. So I'm a difficult person to Google unintentionally. And so come to social media, come find me, let's connect and share all the fun things. I want to hear from people.
That's amazing. I'd never thought about that because your last name is Price and it's just connected in my brain.
Yeah, really it is funny. So hard to Google me, which it's like, I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing. I don't know. Maybe I should hire somebody to do PR for me. I'm like, but I can't. Amazing. Yeah, I'm not a very Googleable person.
That's okay. That's what social media is for. It'll help you out. That's amazing. Well, yeah, we'll get all of those linked to the show notes as well for people so they can just click buttons rather than type if they want to. So yeah, thank you so much. This has been so amazing. I'm so happy that we had this chat.
Thanks for having me, friend.
Hey friend, if you loved today's episode, I want to hear about it. Let's continue the discussion in my free Facebook group. Go to sarahbeisel.com/community and tell me what you thought. I would also love it if you took 30 seconds to leave me a review. Reviews help other people just like you find the show so they can create thriving Facebook groups too. It's time for me to reheat my coffee and head inside my group. I'll see you there or back here for the next episode.